Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, indeed. What's good, San Diego? 3 o'clock is here. You're joining Gwen and Chris for a good 4 hours, although it's only half of us today. Chris, not in, but I return, so you get me back, and you also get a little bit of Scraby. So let me first start by welcoming myself back. Hey, welcome back, Anthony. Thanks for being on the show. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks.
This is great. Great already.
I've missed you guys. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. It's kind of awesome to have Wednesday night football or Wednesday afternoon football on, but it's not a very good game. So
no, it's been quite. It's been hard to watch. Yeah. It's been very, very hard to watch. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to Wednesday football, although for the next week, when it comes to NFL, we're going to be looking at weird times, weird days of football. We got a triple header next Monday. All kinds of craziness has happened to the NFL since I've been out. And I just want to report that the surgery went well. I had to some screws and a plate removed out of my forearm.
Yeah, we didn't announce what actually happened. We just said you were out.
Yes. I ended up having surgery. It was an injury I had that really ended my career in 2015. I snapped my arm throwing a ball back into an infield during a game. And
say that again. You snapped your arm throwing a ball?
Yeah. It's like the fourth inning. We're in Rochester, New York, and I back base hit to the left. I come up. There was a play at the plate that I didn't have a chance to make, so I got it back in as quick as I could, and I just felt this like kind of pop in my arm.
Ew.
And my arm had been hurting for like 2 weeks prior, and I'd been like taping it up, just trying to find ways to get through it because I was swinging a bat really well, and I was anticipating. I was going to be going back up to the big league soon. So I wasn't trying to be hurt for any reason. So I taped it up, proceeded to continue hitting, and then that day it snapped. And it was a Saturday, and so no doctor's office was open until Monday. So I had to wear it for a day or day and a half, and got the x-ray, came back broken. They had to put some screws and a plate in there to kind of put it together, and I just got to the point 5 years later where I was like, you know, if I don't need to have some foreign things in my body, I'd rather have them out. And plus, when it gets cold like this, well, cold for us here in San Diego.
Yeah, the 48 degrees.
Right. It hurts. So they removed it. I'm currently trying to get my strength back, but all
is
well.
So you're like the bionic man.
Kinda. I mean, if you look at my arm, it does look like they got a whole new thing of skin on there.
It looks cool.
I think it's just glue, but nevertheless, we're all good. We're all happy. We're ready to roll here. So, Chris is gone today. Where's Chris at? Do we know?
He is calling Aztecs women's basketball today.
Oh, he's in the bubble.
He's in the bubble. He's been tested a few times, which tells me that I'm negative because he's negative. So,
yes, and you guys have been in each other's face, so that would make a lot of sense.
We did get in trouble by the building COVID cop yesterday, and it wasn't me. It was actually, you know, someone who works here. And Chris and I were doing an interview in a studio, and I thought we were far enough apart. I really did. But he stood outside the window, and when we were done with the interview, he goes, you guys need to be farther apart. And he is telling the COVID cop what to do. I took offense to it.
Well, the COVID cop was breaking the COVID
I was
rule,
definitely so. 6 feet away from Chris.
Apparently not. I will say this. I experienced a new test. I had to, obviously, before he went into surgery, I had to get tested for COVID. And this one, they didn't touch my brain. They went into the back of my throat.
What?
Like, this is a different one. Yes, they went to the back of my throat, touched both sides, and then you get the test back in 24 hours. But I was, like, gagging as he was sticking this thing down
fun.
My throat. Yeah, I had to make sure the car turned off because it was a drive-through one. So last thing I wanted is to hit the gas when they start to stick this thing down your throat. But nevertheless, that was a little uncomfortable. But there are the tales of my surgery right there.
Yeah.
So,
Chris also said that his test didn't get the brain toucher.
He did say they allowed him to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
He was the one doing it. So, I kind of wish that he had the brain toucher because that would be a fun story for him.
I immediately doubted the
results.
The results of his test. When once he told me that he was doing, I was like, oh, I know you didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
I know you didn't.
Just like...
But in on to some sports. We've been talking a little bit about what's going on with me, but some big news, I think, and some surprising news in some circles. The Padres did tender outfielder Tommy Pham a contract. First reported an hour or so ago, or a while ago now, this morning, from Bob Nightingale. Both him and Gary Sanchez of the Yankees, two high-profile non-tender candidates, have been informed that they will indeed be tendered contracts. Dennis Lynn also would confirm that the Padres plan to tender Tommy Pham a contract. Sources tell The Athletic there had been speculation that the left fielder would be non-tendered as the Padres looked for ways to reallocate payroll. Pham could be due about $8 million in 2021. So, and apparently, Kevin Acey dropped this little tidbit on us I don't think anybody knew about. The Padres did not tender a contract to Greg Garcia, who has been among the MLB's best pinch hitters during his two seasons. And one last note on Tommy Pham, it was on Dennis Lynn's Twitter, but this news came from Ken Rosenthal. Tommy Pham has been recovering from a surgery to repair a torn cartilage structure in his left wrist. The tear apparently worsened during the 2020 season. Pham now says his grip strength is significantly improved. So, lots to unpack there.
A lot.
Scrabe, you guys, I know you and Chris talked about it at length yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy Pham, and looks like the Padres will bring him back. I thought it was interesting news that we had no idea about this wrist injury that he had been dealing with apparently for all of 2020.
I was going to ask you about how that happens. How does someone not know about this, or did the Padres know about this and they just didn't release it to the public?
Yeah, no, I think the Padres definitely knew about it.
Okay, because we were speculating that maybe he kept it quiet and this is all news to everyone yesterday. Because this was at the height of people saying he wasn't going to be tendered. So we were all trying to find reasons as to why, and we were speculating, and we were completely wrong.
Yeah, and you know, that's what that tends to happen when you're speculating. Yeah. You leave yourself open to be quite wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, listen, I don't. Generally speaking, yes, players can withhold injury, but it usually is in their benefit to let the team know, you know, why they're struggling on the field. If there's an injury that kind of is the reason behind it. So my guess is that the Padres knew about it. Tommy definitely, I'm sure, mentioned it, and it was just a decision that he would try to get through the season. Because remember, he already had been injured with the hamate, mm-hmm. you know, and then he comes back from that, and, you know, in the short season, you're thinking maybe I can just get through that type of injury, you know, and you know. It didn't end up working out to his best interest, but he was able to get back at the end of the season and then contribute to that Padre run for the playoffs. But nevertheless, big news there. Padres will retain Tommy Pham. It's going to be tough to see Garcia go. He's a guy who's been able to step in and have tremendous pinch hit at bats. Step in and play some third when Chato needed a day off, or play some second base. He's kind of been that play that utility role, and obviously as a San Diegan, it's going to be tough to see him go. But there's no doubt he will be picked up and will sign someplace else. He's too valuable off the bench as a guy who can do so many different things.
Yeah, he was my first Friar Friday fill-in interview, so I have a soft spot in my heart for Greg Garcia. But yesterday we were also talking about back to Tommy Pham real quick. We were also talking about the lawsuit that he's filed in the city, and how that was a little bit concerning to us as well as to the way it was worded and his injury. So I'm just assuming
concerning from a standpoint that if you listen to the lawsuit, that he might not be able to play.
Yes, that the lawsuit says that he needs compensation because his livelihood is in jeopardy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not a lawyer. Don't know a whole lot about how that whole I think it's a civil suit is going to kind of manifest itself, but certainly as it pertains to baseball, you know, the Padres probably wouldn't be tearing him a contract if they didn't feel like he could be a contributor in this season. All right, much going on in this 4-hour show today. Brett Sobleski, Bleacher Report, will join us, talk a little NFL football. Nick Costos, Radio.com insider, this guy is on everything in terms of gambling. We're going to have a little conversation with him about that, some of the better prop bets we got going. Our countdown today, top five NFL defenses right now. Plus, we'll have A.J. Cassavell to join us, talk a little bit about this whole Padres non-tender situation. We want to hear from you guys as well. Do you think the Padres made the right decision bringing back Tommy Pham? Give us a call. 833-288-0973. You want to know how rusty I am? I almost gave you my phone number as we started to do that. Nevertheless, we got a long show for you guys today. I hope you sit back, relax, enjoy. No Chris Eller today, but you do have me, you do have Scraby, and we promise to get you through 4 hours of sports talk radio. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The 3:17 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby in. He's not really in for Chris Hill because he's really always here, but he's kind of taking the sidekick role since Chris is taking care of our Aztecs women's basketball team in the bubble today. As who are they playing today?
Oh, I believe they're playing. I shouldn't make fun of them because they are local, but St. Catharines.
Oh, St. Catharines. Right, I saw that. You know what's funny?
What?
And this is no disrespect. I didn't know that there was a St. Catharines. I thought that was a typo when I read that.
We thought the same, but we looked it up.
So
it's in Encinitas.
You drive by this every day then?
I do. I said it yesterday. I drove by this college every single day for the last like 2 years, and I never knew it was there, which I'm not going to try to take away anything from those folks, but at the same time, like, we should get into this later. I wonder if it is even worth the Aztecs playing a team that's, I don't even know what division St. Catharines is, but we'll get into that later. Right now, we're talking about the Padres, and we're talking about them tendering Tommy Pham and non-tendering Greg Garcia, and we were talking about this in the break, and it leads me, like, with Greg Garcia now going probably to look for another team, or he's going to be on another team, does that tell you that the Padres are going to be more active in free agency and or trades because they need to fill that role? He's been one of the best pinch hitters in Major League Baseball the last couple of years, and they can't just lose a guy. They have to replace the production somehow.
Listen, well, first of all, we want to include our listeners in on this conversation. Do you want to see the Padres active? And if so, what do you want to see them active doing? Like, how do you want to see them address the team? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. To answer your question, Scrape, I'm not so sure that this tells us one way or another what it's going to be, because there is so much uncertainty because of the pandemic and because we don't know what teams have lost in terms of money and how much they want to spend, if they want to spend at all. I just don't know that we know. Clearly, the type of non-tenders we've seen or guys just being outright released kind of tells you they aren't looking to use that kind of money on players unless they have a significant impact on teams. Like, I think Trevor Bauer said it the best, the middle class is probably going to pay the middle class of baseball is probably going to pay the biggest and steepest price. The free agent pool right now is pretty big, and it's bigger than I think a lot of people anticipate, and that has to do with the money that teams lost. And I don't know if we actually have an answer to that question that you're posing, Scray.
Just,
I don't
yeah,
know
well,
that we're
gonna
we know.
Have to see how it goes over the offseason, because this offseason is, as they keep saying, unprecedented with it being during COVID and not being even sure if there's going to be games, a full 162 slate. What's up?
Real quick, off the subject, we know that the Ravens are missing like two quarterbacks.
Yes.
Well, RG3 just went out of the game. He's another quarterback that's hurt. Now they have I don't even know who
his
guy
name is.
Is
Trace McSorley. He was a Penn State quarterback.
And he almost threw a pick there, but man, it can't get any worse for Baltimore.
It can't.
At this point.
It can't. RG3 was running towards the sideline earlier in the game, and then it looked like he tore his hamstring. And I told Tony, I was like, there's no way he's coming out of this game. Of course, he came back in with a wrap over his pads, which I don't really know what that does. But yeah. Anyway, we were talking about the Padres and all of that, and we don't really know what's going to happen for next season. And I think one of the things that we're not talking enough about is how is the market going to look with a shorter season? Because we might see a 120-game season or 130-game season. We don't know yet. We still don't even know if the National League is going to have a DH or not.
DH, right? You know what's funny is I won't be surprised at all if we don't see 162. But I would be very surprised if we see less than 120 games. I think it's going to be over 100 games. It's going to be a longer season than we had last year, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be the 162 that we're used to. We just aren't quite there yet. And, you know, this market is, especially as it pertains to the Padres, because the Padres come into this offseason probably with more questions than they anticipated having going into this offseason, right? I think going into the offseason, they thought they would have some answers on guys like Denelson Lamet. They have an answer now for Clevinger, although I think they were hopeful that this wasn't going to be the answer.
Exactly.
That he was going to miss all of 2021, but that's certainly what's going to happen. And not knowing what the deal is with Denelson Lamet, I think there's some question marks there behind Mackenzie Gore, who is your number one prospect. So, listen, at the end of the day, this team wants to compete and try to get a little bit further than they did last year. They want to take that next step forward. How they do that, I'm not so sure that we know. I think offensively this team is going to be fine. You bring in back pretty much all the pieces that offensively held you one of the top offenses in all of baseball. From a pitching standpoint, as we've discussed on this show a number of times now, there are just a lot of question marks.
And we got question marks at the closer because it could be Kirby Yates. It could be Trevor Rosenthal. We don't know what's going to happen.
Both are free agents.
Both are free agents.
You also have the starting rotation, as we mentioned. Denelson Lamet down. Question mark. Mike Clevinger definitely down. So you got a good year out of Zach Davies last year, who did a tremendous job, and you can look to count on him. Garrett Richards not with the team at this point, so there is just so many different things that the Padres have to address, and I don't know that they have a whole lot of money to address it.
No, they might not have the money, but another aspect and another person of all this thing is Jerickson Profar. What are they going to do with him? And our caller, Scott, wants to ask about him and says we should be talking about him. Scott, what's up?
We should be. Scott, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. I just, I was listening to not only your show, I missed the later on yesterday, but all the shows, and they're talking about Sam and all these Jock Peterson and all these people you pick up. I think Profar was a great player, and I think we should be trying to re-sign him.
Scott, I think you are absolutely right. Thank you for the phone call. I'm glad Scott brought up Jerickson Profar, because what started out as a very rough year for Jerickson, he turned out to be one of the more valuable guys, considering that he can play in many different spots. He could play in the infield. He could play in the outfield. He was a good bat for the Padres when Pham went out, and really helped keep the Padres kind of at the same spot offensively because his production went up. I thought he did a tremendous job. He was a great pickup by A.J. Preller, one that we don't talk enough about.
No.
And listen, that could be the guy that could fill Greg Garcia's role, if you think about it, because if Pham is healthy, let's assume he's healthy, that means your outfield is set. You know your infield is already set, so that you're in a need for a guy that can come off the bench or give you a spot start. He's a switch hitter. I think that plays into it.
That's huge.
And
yeah.
I thought, listen, for all the talk about him maybe struggling defensively in the infield, I don't recall there being a much of an issue him throwing the ball.
Well, how many times did he play second base? Maybe not many.
He didn't play it that much. But when he was there, I didn't see him as a liability at second base, at least from a throwing standpoint, because that was what everybody was talking about. But I was very much surprised. Not really surprised, but I enjoyed watching him in the lineup when Pham went out and he played left. I thought he did a terrific job. That's the guy that could fill your spot. Now, he might be a little bit more expensive than Greg Garcia, but nevertheless, I think it's a guy you got to bring back.
Yeah,
dude, that's a terrific call by Scott there.
Yeah, thanks, Scott, for the phone call. If you guys want to get in on this, 833-288-0973, what do you want to see the Padres do? Who do you want to see them sign? Who do you want to see them maybe turn their back on? I don't know. Who knows? But
you're
I was
so dramatic. Turn your back on.
I know. I gave Tony this little like head shake in the camera because Tony's at home. I do expect the Padres to be pretty active here in the next couple of months, just because if you take the team that they had last year and you take the team that they have now, that's still the same team that got swept by the Dodgers, who of course went on to win the World Series, blah, yada yada yada. But you have to improve. If 2021 is the year for the Padres, you have to improve. And that means you have to go out and pay some money for some free agents. You have to make trades. We haven't even talked about whether or not you would trade Patino, Morejon, and Luis Campusano for Blake Snell, which is one of the trades that Eno Saris
did. You guys
said on
see
the morning
that?
Show.
At least I saw reports that the Padres are checking in on Bauer and wanting to be kind of informed on what decision making is going on from his agent. I also saw reports that they have kicked the tires around Blake Snell as well. Now there was no conversation of what they were talking about. But Blake Snell is certainly somebody who is very intriguing,
and
especially
he's
very
motivated.
He is. He's 27. Former Cy Young Award. I mean, these guys don't just pop up on trees very often, right? I mean, this is a marquee type of starter, and I think wants to be in a situation. I could see him wanting to be in a situation where he gets to prove that he can pitch. It's not just a, you know, 4-5-inning type deal. He wants to be the type of pitcher that, you know, we all talk about come postseason time. You know, I don't know that it's set. I'm sure the outcome of that World Series and how his last start went, I'm positive that does not sit well with Blake Snell. And I think that's only fueled these conversations about Tampa
exactly.
maybe looking to move him.
I was thinking, like, that's the reason that those rumors are out there that he wants to be traded or is open to a trade and the Rays are open to a trade. But let me ask you this, because we've talked, it's been on Twitter. Is there a real thought process between the Rays GM and the Padres GM, A.J. Preller, and how the Padres have made out so much better on a lot of these trades? Does it make the Rays GM kind of a little bit less likely to want to trade with the Padres because they keep winning?
Let me ask you this. Has it changed our perspective of trading with the Cleveland Indians at any point in time?
No, because, yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think
the
about
Indians
that.
The Indians have, I mean, by all accounts, the Indians have won the trades that the Padres have made. It doesn't necessarily make a team not, you know,
you're right.
Trust the other team.
No,
and ultimately,
right.
It's about, you know, the pieces that you like turning out to be all right. And in Cleveland's case, I think all the pieces that they've got have turned out pretty good. And so far,
Manny Margot just got a haircut.
What? I still miss him.
It's especially that guy. But, you know, so to answer your question, I don't think it'll have too much of an impact. I think.
No, you're right.
If teams have a good relationship when they work together, they'll try to make things happen. All right. We got to get to break. When we come back, we got our man AJ Cassavell coming on to talk to us about some of the moves that maybe he might see that we're not talking about. And was he surprised about Tommy Pham being tendered a contract? We'll talk about it all when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Ben and Woods on The Fan.
You know, former NBA star Nate Robinson, Jake Paul just knocked him out.
Are you related to them, Rindle Paul?
Oh, my God.
I don't even want to do this anymore.
I can't.
Rindle Paul.
It's not funny.
Look at him.
Go, continue, please. Sorry, I interrupted.
Rindle Paul. And he's dying. Old Gordon Lightfoot over here is having a blast.
Well, they have to go looking for bench pieces. And I don't know whether you find the exact same guy as Greg Garcia. Maybe you mix and match. Like, cause he's a pretty good left-handed pinch hit bat off the bench. And he's also a pretty good versatile utility infield option. Maybe Jorge Mateo is that utility infield option going forward. But you still need someone who can come off the bat. Or come off the bench with a left-handed bat and make an impact and work some counts. And I think that was Greg Garcia's primary value. And I know he only hit 200 last season, but he grinded out at-bats against good right-handed pitchers late in games. And you need to go out and find that because I don't know that the Padres have that guy from within. So, like I said, I think their offense is pretty set as far as the starters. I mean, they're returning all 8 starting position players now. But they lost Jurickson Profar and Jason Castro and Mitch Moreland and now Greg Garcia. And their bench was, I think, down the stretch last season, one of their strengths. Now they just need to kind of fill in the pieces. And I understand why they did what they did, why they didn't tender Garcia a contract, because they think there's better value to be found elsewhere. But now they need to go out and find that value.
Now, AJ, you said they haven't officially lost Jurickson Profar, right? Like, I know he's a free agent, but they could re-sign him, correct?
Sure, that's definitely an option, and I'm curious to see where the Padres kind of pool their resources because they need pitching, and that is probably the primary aim. I think aim 1 and 2 is starting pitching and relief pitching. I'm not sure exactly in what order, but that's where the Padres are going to focus first. And so if Jurickson Profar has a more lucrative contract offer elsewhere, maybe you let him walk, but he would fit perfectly into what the Padres are trying to do in terms of a utility option who can fill the void maybe if Tommy Pham's injuries don't heal like the Padres hope they would, or step in the infield as a switch hitter and give some of those guys some time off. So I think he's definitely an option, but I also think the Padres utility infielder isn't obviously their top priority.
Right.
Their first priority is pitching.
Yeah. You lead me into the perfect segue, the pitching. I mean, I think going into the off season after after the Padres were bounced from the playoffs, there was optimism that, all right, you could have Mike Clevenger back, you could have Denelson Lamet back. As we sit here on December 2nd today, it's a question mark at best if you have Denelson Lamet back. We know Mike Clevenger's done for the year. Where do the Padres go from here? Because it's hard to say that you can see this team taking that next step forward unless this front end of the rotation is addressed.
Yeah, they need pitching somewhere in that rotation. I don't know whether you can address the front end of their rotation in-house and kind of hope for a real bounce back from Chris Paddock or for Mackenzie Gore to kind of blossom into that ace that we've all expected him to be. But they're going to need to do something pitching-wise because Mike Clevenger's spot in the rotation was a guy they're counting on for –
right.
30 starts or so, and he's a guy they're counting on to be one of the better arms in the rotation. I don't know whether the answer is signing a Trevor Bauer or trading for a big name like Blake Snell. Like, those are going to be extremely pricey propositions that half the league is in on. And so to expect something like that, it might be that might be a little bit too much. But there are other options, and I think there are a lot of pretty good options in the relief market. And I just think the Padres need to kind of AJ Preller is going to go about finding the best value he can find, whether that's a number two starter, whether that's a number three starter, whether that's maybe two or three lockdown bullpen weapons to turn what I think is already a pretty good bullpen into an elite bullpen. I don't know where it is. I know the pitching market is we saw what Trevor May got from the Mets. It's pricier than I think some people maybe thought it would be going in. We'll see how it plays out going forward.
AJ Cassavell with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Now, Tony talked about the front end of the rotation. What about the closer spot? Because, you know, you have Drew Pomerantz under contract, but then you also have Trevor Rosenthal and Kirby Yates that are not under contract. Where do you think that they go with that? Do you think that they'll be able to they'll bring back one of those two guys that aren't under contract?
Yeah, it's very possible that Drew Pomerantz becomes the closer. But even if that's what happens, I think the Padres are looking to add a big-time relief weapon. And then if you're looking at who those weapons are, I mean, Trevor Rosenthal is definitely one of them. Kirby Yates, if he can get back healthy and looking like 2019 Kirby Yates, he's definitely one of them. And so, yes, the Padres are absolutely interested in that because they need – you could fill out a pretty good bullpen as things stand, but they need more than that. They need more depth, and they really need one or two guys who, when you get to the postseason, you can count on to be lockdown weapons. I mean, that's elite bullpens win in October, and that's what the Padres are trying to build. And I don't think what they have right now is a good bullpen. They'll look externally to kind of try and solidify it. And I think Yates and Rosenthal are definitely among the options.
One last one for me, AJ. Obviously, Denelson, as we sit back and kind of wait to see how he feels as we get closer to spring training. What do you know about his throwing program this month? Is this something that they're, you know, paying a lot of attention to?
Definitely. There's a lot of people in the organization, I think, kind of holding their breath. So far, the news has been good because, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of news to glean, but it hasn't been what happened with Mike Clevenger where his elbow didn't respond. I think Denelson Lamet has been – I mean, he has responded well, but he's responded well and he's not really – he hasn't ramped up his throwing yet. Now, pretty soon he's going to start doing that, and that's when we'll learn – we might not even learn more until spring training. And so I think a lot of people are holding their breath for when he gets into game action and when he faces hitters. Did that PRP treatment work? I mean – a lot hinges on a healthy Denelson Lamet in 2021. And so I think it's fair to feel a little nervous going into camp and going into the 2021 season as to whether he can hold up health wise. But thus far, given all the treatment he got thus far, there's no warning sign aside from what we know is an obvious warning sign, which is the fact that he had a season shut down because of an elbow injury.
You say nervous. Yeah, I say extremely scared on my part.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair.
It is. The reality is with these PRPs, it is a flip of the coin. Some guys respond really, really well to it. Some guys don't respond well at all. Hopefully, Denelson Lamet is on the respond really well program part of this. AJ, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. We'll catch up with you again here soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. AJ Cassavell there on the SDCCU fan hotline. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Got to tell you, Scrape, those type of things scare me to death.
The PRP?
Not necessarily the PRP when people in the organization are kind of holding their breath, kind of wait. That means there is genuine, like...
Concern.
Like, we don't know how this is going to turn out. And it's one thing to be missing Mike Clevenger and have... Denelson finished, what, fifth? Fourth in the Cy Young Award?
I think it was fourth, yeah.
Fourth. It's one thing to be missing Mike Clevenger and have the fourth place finisher in Cy Young and Denelson Lamet. That's a completely different thing to have both of those guys missing a year, because that's really what it sounds like. If Denelson isn't able to go, that's where this thing is headed. And that would be a major step backwards, I think, for the Padres, no matter how good the offense is. Unless the babies come up and take over this whole bad boy, which I'm not ruling out, but it's
you can't count on that, though.
Right, right. It seems like an unlikely scenario in all this.
Yeah, it makes me really nervous because think about what the Padres have been telling everyone for the last couple of years. Trust the process. We're going to be good in 2021.
Well, and we have, and they were spot on in 2020.
Yeah, like, they made the playoffs. They're on the right timeline. They've put years, they've invested years into this process, and to think that the process could be broken once you go into your big year, that's it's a little deflating.
It is deflating, but you know what? It's all part of it, right? Like, you need some luck in all of this. As you build the whole station, or as you build this whole organization, right, and you're bringing in these young guys, you need them to stay healthy. They mostly have. You need them to perform well. They mostly have. And, you know, that needs to be consistent throughout the entire process. Now, you have an injury. You have bad injuries, like you have a Tommy John and Mike Clevenger. We don't know. The jury's still out on Denelson Lamet. He had the PRP, but let's for argument's sake, say it doesn't work out. That is a legitimate step back. Now the question becomes, because that money is still, you know, going to be tied up, right?
Yeah.
Do you now let the young guys come up and fill those voids at that point? What other opportunity is there for you to, because remember, there was a lot of season missed by the young guys last year because they didn't have a minor league season. I mean, that seemed to me would be the way to go, is you let the young guys come out and just do their thing at that point. You let a Mackenzie Gore come up, you throw Patino in or Amore Hone and let it ride, see what they do, because you can't,
or Ryan Weathers, the Padres aren't,
or Ryan Weathers, you don't, the Padres aren't ever going to be in a position where they could just, guy goes down, spend the money to go out and get somebody else. It's
no.
Just it won't work that way. So
yeah. It doesn't work that way. It's for a lot of teams.
Right. For most teams. I mean, if your team not named the Dodgers, Yankees,
Red Sox,
Angels, Red Sox, Giants, it pretty much has to go that way. So we're all holding our breath, hoping to Nelson Lamet in this month of throwing program, as he starts to ramp it up, goes in the right direction, because this is it'll be devastating if he's not able to go.
A couple things. First, Wednesday afternoon football is over. The Steelers have won. They beat the Ravens 19-14.
It's an ugly game.
Ugly game. Closer game than I thought. RG3 got hurt for the Ravens. Everything just went bad for them. We were talking yesterday during the Big Five about Major League Baseball starting like a wooden bat league. Have you seen this news? Instead
Major
of like
League baseball starting a wood bat league,
like a minor league wood bat league for top prospects and for
For
other, it's gonna be like a 68 game season. They're gonna use all the people that are going into the draft, and then after the draft they're going to redraft. It sounds like, so that those guys who weren't drafted can get back on roster to showcase themselves for later on. What do you? Because I said that if I'm a minor league baseball
this is
player
outside
out there,
of college.
This is outside of college, and some of the guys aren't going to be able to play because the College World Series is going to coincide with the Wooden Bat League.
I have not seen this.
No, we'll talk about it later then, because Chris and I wanted to get your opinion on this, because I said if I'm a minor league baseball player, I'm nervous. My opportunities are drying up way faster because there are so many different levels of major league minor league baseball, and when Major League Baseball is putting their money and their name behind one league, they want that league to succeed, and I think they're kind of using it as an exposure tool for the baseball fans to be able to watch these guys in the 68 game season and then see them go up through the major leagues.
Interesting. I hadn't heard anything about this. I mean, I heard some rumblings about some wood bat league that Major League Baseball might be getting behind, but I'm not sure how, you know, that'll affect current minor leaguers, right? Because they are going to have to go through that same process, even if they go to one of these showcases and do well. They're still going to have to go through the minor league system in order to get to the big leagues. They're not going to just have these guys play and then sign, pluck them out, and throw them right,
put
the
them right on the big league roster.
It's just not going to happen. So I don't know that it'll dry up opportunities. Certainly, I mean, minor league, the competitive field as far as guys you're having to go has always been wide-ranging, right? I mean, It's worldwide, basically. I mean, mm-hmm. Guys coming from Dominican, from Venezuela, from Australia, from Japan. I mean, they're coming from all over, and those guys are always kind of been in the pool of competing with those minor league guys. So I don't know that nothing changes. I might need to do a little more research on it, but obviously Major League Baseball is trying to fill a void, or because remember they cut a whole bunch of minor league teams.
Yeah.
No longer.
They're putting some of these wooden bat franchises in cities where a minor league team left.
Right, right. And so they're trying to put some of the pieces back together. Because as I think we got to see, this hurt some of the minor league guys that didn't get an opportunity to play last year because they didn't have a season.
Have you seen the pictures of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. recently?
I have not.
The dude is an Adonis. He has lost
an Adonis now.
Maybe not an Adonis. I may have gotten a little too much because
no, you exaggerated. No, for
a fellow chubby guy to look at another chubby guy who's lost weight, it makes me jealous because he does look pretty good with the workout program he's been doing.
They want him to play more third base next year. Is that what I get?
Well, maybe. I mean, he looks like he's slimmed down at least 20, 30 pounds of fat. And he's going to go play winter league ball, too. So he's going to get all the work that he can get in.
So both him and I know Junior said that he hasn't closed the door on playing some winter ball this year. So winter ball should have some pretty talented individuals out there.
That would make me nervous. I feel like Fernando has too much to lose playing winter ball.
He's got a lot of still. He wants to get some baseball in. He's a lot of baseball that he hasn't. He's missed. I shouldn't say he's missed out on, but he got hurt two years ago. Last year was a shortened season, so he's still trying to get to a point where he feels comfortable from an at bat standpoint.
If he wants me to throw him batting practice or something, I'll come out and do it. Fernando, don't worry. I got you.
It certainly isn't the same, Scrape. I can promise you.
What
that.
Do you mean?
All right, it's not the same. We'll get to break. 4 o'clock hour on the way. Lil Gwen versus the fan today. I don't know if I can be as good as Chris. I always say that, and then I end up having a
exactly,
good game.
Exactly.
You want to get in? Want to have a chance to qualify for that Vegas trip? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.